Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of David Coffin and Scott Davis. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. David Coffin was born on April 24, 1955, in Hartford, Connecticut. He came from a very wealthy family. His family members had run a company called the Dexter Corporation since it was founded in 1767. The company manufactured paper products and other items for several industries, including automotive, medical, and aerospace. It generated more than $1 billion in sales a year and $40 million in profit. David went to college at the University of Colorado, where he earned a bachelor's degree in business and an MBA. He returned to Connecticut and worked for the Dexter Corporation for 3 years before becoming a self-employed businessman. In 1991, he moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and lived in a house on Conway Drive. This is in an affluent neighborhood called Buckhead. David did not need to worry about money. He had a $19 million trust. The other key player in the story is Scott Winfield Davis. He was born in 1965 and lived in Georgia. Scott earned a bachelor's degree and an MBA and became a technology consultant. He lived in a house on Battleview Drive, just 5 miles from David's house. In 1989, Scott met a woman named Megan Lee, and they became romantically involved. Her name is spelled like Megan, but pronounced Megan. Scott and Megan married in 1994. In August 1996, Megan filed for divorce and moved out of the marital home. Scott was not too happy about this. He begged Megan to reconcile, but she wasn't interested. Megan started dating David Coffin, which made Scott extremely angry. He warned her not to have a sexual relationship with any man, including David, until the divorce was finalized. Furthermore, Scott told an acquaintance that he would kill anyone who had sex with Megan. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, Factor.
Living an active and healthy lifestyle isn't always easy, and cooking on top of everything else can feel overwhelming. Factor gives you the flexibility to stay active without succumbing to a quick, cheat meal. Eat clean and stress-free with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready in just 2 minutes. There is no preparation and there is no mess. Factor just introduced its healthiest menu yet, doubling the size to over 80 rotating weekly meals. That's 3 times more new meals each week, with restaurant-quality flavors that keep things exciting. Factor now has twice as many seafood dishes, and they doubled the number of high-protein meals. Factor is the perfect solution if you want fast, wholesome meals for less than takeout. After a long day of researching, analyzing, and recording, Factor is my go-to solution to stay efficient and avoid wasting time on cooking or going to the grocery store. They offer nutritious options that make it easy for me to stick to my goals. Head to factor75.com or click the link below and use code DrGrandeFB50 to get 50% off plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code DrGrandeFB50 at factor75.com to get 50% off plus free breakfast for 1 year.
Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Saturday, December 7, 1996, David Coffin spent the night at Megan Lee's apartment, which was about 7 miles from his house. While he was there, a phone call was placed from his home to the home of Scott Davis. Later that night, Scott repeatedly called Megan's apartment and left voicemails asking if she was sleeping with David. He called her around 25 to 30 times. When David returned to his house on Sunday, December 8, he discovered that it had been burglarized. His television set had been destroyed, and several items were missing, including 2 shotguns, a 9mm pistol, a caller identification box, 2 watches, and his red 1988 Porsche 911 Carrera. On Monday, December 9, 1996, Scott Davis called in sick to work. That evening, Scott asked his neighbor, Greg, if he could borrow his white Jeep Cherokee to return a table and chairs that had been borrowed for a Christmas party. As it turns out, in addition to a Porsche, David owned a white Jeep Cherokee. Greg granted Scott's request, and the men switched vehicles. Greg drove Scott's car to a nearby gym called Australian Body Works. Later that night, Scott returned Greg's Jeep Cherokee. On Tuesday, December 10, a 911 call was placed alerting the authorities about a vehicle fire in a vacant lot not far from David's house. When firefighters arrived, They found David's Porsche 911 on fire. The vehicle was unoccupied. On Tuesday evening, David's neighbor called 911 and reported seeing flames coming from David's house. In the house, firefighters discovered David's body. His cause of death was a single gunshot wound to the head. The murder weapon was found in his house. It was his own 9mm pistol, which had been stolen over the prior weekend. That same evening, prior to the report of David's house being on fire, Scott called the police and reported that an intruder had entered his house and sprayed him with mace. Scott indicated that the perpetrator pointed a gun at his head and issued a warning to leave Megan alone. After trying to steal his vehicle, the perpetrator fled on foot, jumping over a backyard fence to make his escape. Right after this, Scott called the police again. This time he said he discovered that tools, clothing, and a gas can were missing from his house. Presumably, the items had been stolen by the mysterious intruder. A few hours after the fire at David's house was reported, Scott called the police for a third time. He said that he woke up to find flames on his back patio and a perpetrator armed with a pistol and wearing a ski mask. Scott responded by firing his shotgun 5 times at this person. The perpetrator fled over the back fence and escaped. After this, Scott used a garden hose to extinguish the fire on his back patio. Initially, the police believed that Scott was a victim, like the same perpetrator had targeted both David and him. David was murdered, but Scott managed to survive the attack. As Scott kept talking, however, the police became suspicious. They wondered if he was actually the killer. Scott indicated that David's house had been set on fire and that David had been shot. The problem is, the police had not yet determined that David had been shot. They would not find that out until later that day. To explain this discrepancy, Scott said that Megan told him that David had been shot. On Friday, December 13, 1996, the police arrested Scott Davis and charged him with murder, burglary, arson, and theft. As the investigation continued, the state's case against Scott disintegrated. Scott had an alibi for when David's Porsche was set on fire. He was at a meeting at work. There was no way he could have been the perpetrator of that particular crime. Furthermore, the police could not find any physical evidence tying Scott to the murder. Within a few months, Scott was released from jail, and in June 1998, the charges were dismissed. The police continued to consider him a suspect, but nothing was happening with this case at this point. Scott Davis moved on with his life. He moved to Palo Alto, California, and worked as a computer consultant. In the notorious recall election in 2003, Scott was one of the 135 candidates who ran to replace Governor Gray Davis. Among the competition was the famous child actor Gary Coleman. He had starred on a show titled Different Strokes. When the media checked into Scott's background, they noticed that he had been arrested for murder in Georgia. Scott denied responsibility for the murder of David Coffin. He said that his ex-wife Megan spoke to the police, which is why he was arrested. Ultimately, Scott dropped out of the governor race. The actor Arnold Schwarzenegger ended up winning the election and was sworn in as governor on November 17, 2003. 1 day later, Scott Davis was arrested on charges of malice murder and felony murder. The state of Georgia had decided to pursue the case after discovering one new piece of evidence. Prior to David's murder, Scott had hired a private investigator to follow his estranged wife, Megan. The private investigator identified David Coffin as the man who was romantically involved with Megan. On Friday, December 6, 1996, Scott asked the private investigator for David's home address and his phone number. He said he was going to pay a visit to David's house. Again, David was murdered on December 9 or December 10. At his trial, Scott's defense argued there was no evidence connecting him to David's murder. Their effort to convince the jury was not successful. On December 4, 2006, Scott Davis was found guilty of malice murder and felony murder. He received a sentence of life in prison. Now moving to my analysis. Scott Davis maintains his innocence, and he has a substantial number of supporters. They argue that Scott must have heard about David being shot from Megan. They also pointed out that the investigation was badly managed, and a lot of evidence was missing by the time Scott went to trial. The state of Georgia, of course, disagrees. They acknowledge that their case had some significant problems, but they believe the evidence points directly to Scott Davis. This brings me to the question, is Scott guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. David Coffin was romantically involved with Megan Lee, the estranged wife of Scott Davis. Scott was not happy about this and even threatened to kill any man who had sex with Megan. Multiple desperate attempts were made by Scott to reunite with Megan. He appeared to be extremely jealous. Not long before David was murdered, Scott acquired his address from a private investigator and said he was going to visit David's house. David's house was burglarized on Saturday, December 7, 1996. Among the items taken were his Porsche 911 and three firearms. During the burglary, someone used his phone to call the residence of Scott Davis. On Monday, December 9, Scott switched vehicles with his neighbor Greg, who just happened to own a white Jeep Cherokee like David owned. David was murdered that night, or possibly the next day. On Tuesday, December 10, David's Porsche was found on fire. A gas can and a bag found inside the vehicle were similar to items owned by Scott. That day, Scott called the police three times with a bizarre story about an armed perpetrator attacking him and setting fire to his back patio. No evidence was ever found to support Scott's story about this attacker. Scott told the police that David had been shot to death when the police did not even know what David's cause of death was. In theory, Scott could have found out from Megan, but she denied telling him that. On Thursday, December 12, Scott asked Greg to say that he had seen him at the Australian Bodyworks gym on Monday, December 9. So Scott was asking Greg for an alibi. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. No physical evidence whatsoever connects Scott Davis to the murder of David Coffin. No DNA, no fingerprints, no blood, no gunshot residue, no fibers, no hair, no video surveillance, nothing at all. There were no witnesses to the murder, and the weapon used to kill David was his own gun, not a weapon owned by Scott. Over 40 items collected as evidence had been lost or thrown away by the time Scott went to trial. Among the lost items were fingerprints taken from the scene of the murder. The police know that the fingerprints didn't match Scott, but they never ran them through any database. Scott's defense was therefore denied any chance to introduce an alternate suspect theory based on those fingerprints. Scott did not have an alibi for the time of the murder, but he did have an alibi for the time that David's Porsche was set on fire. In theory, Megan had a motive to kill David. After all, they were lovers, and David was seeing other people. Maybe Megan was lying, and she really did tell Scott that David had been shot. This would have been a smart strategy to divert attention away from herself. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Scott Davis is guilty of murder? Yes, I believe he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The state's case had some real problems, but I think that Scott's story about the mysterious perpetrator attacking him is impossible to believe. It sounded like an episode of Scooby-Doo co-written by the Unabomber and the Night Stalker. Scott was trying to make it seem like he was a victim too, but his plan backfired because the narrative connected him to David's murder. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Scott was upset about Megan leaving him and wanted to reconcile. Megan's romantic involvement with David left Scott feeling really worried. David had an MBA just like him, but unlike Scott, David had a $19 million trust. Scott didn't feel like he could compete with David. In addition, Scott was particularly disgusted by the idea of Megan having sex with somebody else, believing if that happened, reconciliation was impossible. Scott broke into David's house and took guns and his Porsche. It's possible that he had an accomplice. This would explain how the Porsche was later set on fire when Scott was at work. On the night of the murder, Scott confronted David while holding the stolen 9mm pistol. David had consumed an excessive quantity of alcohol and was high on cocaine at this time. Scott shot him one time, then left the house. Later, he became nervous about getting caught, so he decided to return to David's house and set it on fire. Prior to the arson, he fabricated a story about a mysterious perpetrator to make it appear as though whoever killed David must have attacked him too. Just in case his gas can was connected to the arson, Scott claimed that the perpetrator took it. This way, he could say the perpetrator must have used the gas can to set the fire at David's house after stealing it from him. Despite putting a lot of effort into his crime, it was pretty obvious from the beginning that Scott was guilty. He was the only one who didn't see it, and his confidence level about escaping justice remained high. Scott even ran for governor of California. This seems like a strange career move, but both arson and politics involve keeping the flames going and hoping no one notices the damage. Those are my thoughts in the case of David Coffin and Scott Davis. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.